for just 2 or 3 minutes, and it might do more good than myself.
You know, I think sometimes we have such mistaken ideas about so many things. We've gone crazy in this country on bigness. If a thing isn't big, it isn't anything. That's the most insane thing in the world in light of the Bible. The Bible nowhere magnifies bigness in the present age. Bigness is out yonder ahead of us. God said his crowd was a small crowd and they were on a narrow road. He said there weren't many folks going that way. He said the other road was a broad road and leading to death, and many people are traveling that way. But he says by inference that he doesn't need a big crowd. That he says one of his can chase 1,000 and 2 can put 10,000 to flight, so he doesn't have to have many. You better have a few of the right kind and a small church of the right kind of church than have a great many don't believe anything or don't know what they believe and don't amount to anything. Now, I think next to Billy Sunday, I have preached to the largest crowds of anybody that lived back in that day. I was an evangelist. I'm 74 years old. We'll be 75 in October. I started when I was 13 years old. When I was 21 years of age, I was holding big, great, citywide campaigns. I've known every evangelist who's lived in America and Europe for over 50 years. I've known them intimately. I have given careful study to religious movements in all sorts of situations and all sorts of ideas. When I founded a school, we founded a school with the idea of a small school. We never intended to have a big school. I was perfectly sincere about it. And we couldn't have a big school if we didn't draw them everywhere. Now listen, no school's a big school if it's spiritual unless it has worldwide contacts. We have the largest independent school in America, and we draw ours from every state and 30 foreign countries, and we get the quality Christ people, fathers and mothers and folks of that kind who want to send their children to a safe place, and young folks want to graduate. Just like you have them gravitating at this church. You can go up and down this country and find any fighting, uncompromising, orthodox church like you have here. Especially if you're hitting an evangelistic note, you'll find Bob Jones University boys and girls hanging around. All over America, everywhere I go, where there's a base like this, and that's the hope of this country. Now let me tell you something. There's an effort made today to rub out the line between those who believe the Bible is the Word of God and those who believe it contains the Word of God. And if that line's run out, you'll have religion but no Christianity. And what we thank God for is a church like this that stands for the Bible without apology. And I pray God to help you. Now, I want you here tonight. Tonight, I'm going to dust off one of my old-time messages. Now, I want to have a crowd. Now, I want you here tonight. I'm going to talk on what makes God Almighty mad, and shouldn't we get mad too? I'm going to drive down the line. I don't have a lot of vacancies yet. Now, you get on the telephone. Get them out here. Let's have a good time tonight, and may God help you. So glad to greet my boys and girls. The light in my eye there. I kept looking at you, Ann. Thought I saw you over there. She just got over here. These other folks here, God bless them. Now, blessed Jesus, help me to speak this morning, not in the energy of the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. And may something wonderful happen in this service. Now, when we get to heaven and walk down streets of shining gold on the cloudless sky, and we're going sometime by thy grace, maybe sooner than we think, help us to find up there that this is one of the greatest services we've ever been in our lives. You don't have to have big ones, and all you have to have is the right kind. And something might happen in a life today that might turn the current of that life and send somebody out to be a blessing to the world, more wonderful than anybody ever dreamed. Bless this pastor and all who are here, and give us victory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, if you'll let me start right off, I'll have to talk fast because I can't possibly get through on a Sunday morning time unless I do. So I'll have to hurry. And the angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go towards the south on the way it goes down from Jerusalem. Come on, folks, and get seats right quickly. I want you to hear the word of God. Give them seats right quickly. So I move in there and let them have those folks so I won't have to keep us waiting. All right, thank you very much. Just right in there, thank you very much. All right, now let's start over. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south on the way it goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, had the charge of all her treasure, come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, red eyes, hear this prophet. Then the Spirit said to little Philip, go near and join thyself with this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet his eyes there, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment is taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. And I don't want to get off to the pool right now because I don't want to divert your attention just to some water. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's all right about the pool. I was baptized in the country creek. Don't misunderstand me. But you know something? You've got Baptist preachers in America today. You couldn't pull them away from pools with a team of horses. But you can pull them away from the blood of Jesus Christ out in the effort of soul. You can pull them away from the inspiration of the Bible. And we, listen, that we've been hitting notes here and deceiving people. Burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Do you know an Orthodox Presbyterian believes in the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ? An Orthodox Baptist believes in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they just admit that baptism's a type. And the thing that typified is more important than the type. Let's remember that. And we can be deceived if we don't watch out. And we've been deceived in this country by a modernistic conspiracy working undercover that's damning this country and sending it to hell. And Goody Lynch is just keeps hitting notes at and say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, all of us go to hell together. That's where you go. Yeah. Yeah, when I was a boy, a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, they all believe the same fundamental essentials. And they said, this is a type, this is a type. Met a fellow not long ago. He said, you believe you can lose salvation? Well, I said, what do you think about it? He said, I don't think you can. Well, I said, that's wonderful. I know folks that think you might lose it, and some folks that think you can't lose it. And I say to them, well, you got to get it to keep it. Let's get around and help folks get it. You can't lose it, you get it. And you can't keep it, you get it. Some folks argue all day long. But a fellow not long ago argued me about whether you can lose your salvation or not. I said, have you got any? He said, no, I've never been converted. Well, I said, what you worried about? You got nothing to lose. Yeah, listen, we in a bad fix. An old man been going down the road like I have a long time. As long as I haven't dealt with as many people as I've dealt with, you're just going to get your eyes open to see the dangers we're facing. All right. And he opened his mouth and got the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about a kind of work you can do if you're a Christian. Now, there may be some things you can't do. God never called anybody to do something he couldn't do. God never called on me to sing. I can't sing. My vocal cords and my air won't work together. I tried it. They just fall out and separate. And the air insists that it's right, and the vocal cord says you're wrong. They can't get together. I just can't sing. I can't stay on pitch. I used to worry about, I'd rather sing. Isn't it strange you all want to do what we can't do? I can't sing. But I've got a song in my heart. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the attention of the orchestra for just a minute. I'm going to ask him to set a pitch on for me on harps of gold, and I'm going to dip my tongue in the melody of this sky and sing a song that Jesus put down at 11 years old. Can't everybody sing? It makes me madness. Teacher, everybody can learn to sing. It isn't so. I've tried it for 70 years and can't do it. And everybody ever want to do something bad as I want to sing. All right, some people can't preach. God hadn't called everybody to preach. Did you know it's a strange thing that people are talking about? We have got such strange ideas. Now, let me tell you something. You can't judge an evangelist by the number of people he leads to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ sent on high, led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men, he gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints on the work of the ministry. Now wait. As I come here this morning to this pulpit, I'm coming in the role of an evangelist. All right. If I come in the role of evangelist, I'm sent to you born again Christians. I'm not sent to the sinners in my role as an evangelist. As a Christian, I'm sent to the sinners. But the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, if they stay in character, their job is to perfect the saints to do the work that needs to be done for Jesus Christ. And we've forgotten that. Somebody said to me one day, well, why don't you have a great revival? Well, now, wait a minute. Suppose you've got a fruit orchard out, John, and some fella comes along there, and you say to this fella, I want to hire you to go in there and get fruit. And you headline it and have a big affair of it. And wonderful thing set up, you know, and you send the fella out there to gather fruit. And he goes out there and works all day long, piles up the fruit, and says, sure was a success, wasn't it? Yeah, you got the fruit, but you ruined my orchard. You pull the limbs off the tree. This orchard won't bear any fruit for the next 10 years. Listen, you can sacrifice the plunder on the altar of the immediate and a revival campaign. Let's get that clear. Now, wait a minute. Now, let's understand. Peace, I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a teacher. Listen, what you ought to want to do is to be what God wants you to be. Do you know if you want to be sincerely what God wants you to be, he'll put you where you belong? A fellow said the other day, he said, I'm a preacher and can't find any open doors. A preacher's willing to go anywhere for God always has somewhere to go for God. The guy that's willing to go anywhere for God never is out of a job. Get out on the street corner, put up a brush hog, I wasn't 13 years old. I built one out in the country myself. Got an old man to help me a little. Told him I was going to hold a meeting. I wasn't 13 years old. A little over 13. You know what they did? They organized a church of 54 members, closed that revival. I didn't ask you. There's some woods out there and some trees. The fellow said I'd cut as much wood as I wanted to build me a brush off. Thought that's crazy, of course. But I started out there. Now, wait a minute. Let's understand. Somebody said, I want to be an evangelist. I'm going to the soul winning business. You ought to be ashamed to call yourself a Christian if you're not in it. Now, wait a minute. My job as an evangelist is not to count converts. My job as an evangelist is to make you ashamed if you don't have some converts. Now, as a Christian, my job is to win people to Christ. That's the business of every Christian in the world. Every Christian on earth is supposed to be a soul winner. Yeah, you can win souls to Christ. You ought not to do it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. The best soul winner I ever saw in my life. I never saw a better soul winner was a fellow that stuttered. Over 50 years ago, converted into my ministry. Everybody knew him around town. It'd take him 5 minutes to say good morning. And he went out all over town to get a hold of fellows. Fellow coach. I've been saved. Next while he'd get out, I want you saved. Listen. You say, I have any ability. You don't have to have any. God's got enough for both of you. Everything's gone Hollywood in this country. Spectacular stuff, spectacular Hollywood. Everything's Hollywood, glamour. And we've bought in the religion and we've driven Jesus Christ out of many of our churches. Get an actor, actress converted and headline them all over this country. Not God's way. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. You can't just make yourself big, take on human effort. Now, you don't misunderstand me. Use good common sense. A lot of this glamour stuff we put on just to get God to excuse us, and we know what we ought to do. If you're not a soul winner, you know what's the matter with you. You haven't given yourself fully to Christ. Now, let me ask something. Oh, you said you gave God your heart and you were converted, but you didn't. I'm not so particular about how people say things unless they lead them astray. When I came to Jesus, I didn't give him my heart. He gave me a heart. A new heart. A heart from sin set free. All I had to give Jesus was my poor, sinful life. And I know he wouldn't have that. So I just said, Jesus, won't you give me something so I won't have a poor, sinful life? And the G-I-F-T of God is eternal life. All right, now you get to be a Christian by trusting Jesus. What happens to you? Why do you get to trust Jesus? And what happens? Well, then Jesus says, I'd like to have you to give me something. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, your bodies. That's addressed to Christians. Whenever you find the word brethren used in the New Testament, the writer's talking to Christians, said, I want your body. Yes. Did you ever give me a body? It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you ever walk up and say, now, Jesus, I won't give you my hands. You've got wonderful hands, Jesus. Mine are so insignificant. You had hands that could throw all these planets out and light all these suns. But what little hands I've got, they're yours. I want you to use my hands. I want to use my feet. I won't give you my feet. I'm a little awkward about how I get around, but tell you what I'll do, Jesus. I'll be your errand boy. You just give me, I'll give you feet and you can have them and I'll deliver messages for you. I'll run down the highways and the back alleys out over the world giving messages. And yet, Jesus, I'll tell you something else I'd like to give you too. You know, I haven't been seeing exactly as well as I should. I won't give you my eyes so I can see a sinner. Saw a little picture the other day, yesterday, came through St. Louis, down way out here. Boy, one of the nicest looking kids ever saw in life, been off some school. And he looks up nice and sweet. I love children, especially little babies. This boy's about 15 years old. And stood down and talked to him and found out his father and mother had separated. Now, this boy's mother, he said, but died. I sit in his bed and said, she died suddenly. Father's married again. He said, father wasn't a Christian. I asked him about him. He said, yes, he trusted Jesus. I stood down and talked to him, told him what all it meant. Yeah. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Men are going to hell by the millions in this country. Walk by our door every day and we say, well, I'm going to hell. I don't mean to say it out loud. We just act like we didn't care if it did, see? See?
Sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus."
"We sure haven't any talent."
Well, you don't have to have any. Don't you think Jesus knows your limitations? I sometimes think that some poor blundering fellow can do more than some eloquent fellow. The grace of the magistrate can't be no head. Our friend told about the magistrate work. I told our students the other day, I said, the greatest and most wonderful evangelism I've ever had in my life has been when I founded Bob Jones University. I don't hold long meetings. I can't stay long. How am I going to stay away? Got an audience there, 3,000 speak to them at home. About 800 or 900 of them preachers. Maybe 400 or 500 of them going to mission fields. Many of them going to teach school. And we tell them, life's not divided. The sector is sacred. We say, for a Christian, all ground's holy ground. Every bush is a burning bush. And so I'm back home with them.
Yes, as an evangelist, I have an opportunity that very few men ever had.
We've prayed most evangelists in this country. We've got nearly 1,000 pastors scattered over America that have been through our school. And thank God most of them are good, decent, soul-winning preachers, too. And they know how to shepherd the flock and feed the sheep. Yeah. Yeah, that's my business, man. But that won't get me out of winning people to Christ. You know, my office of the evangelist is an office in which I play a part. Yeah. I'm in character. But as a Christian, I'm out of character if I'm not winning somebody to Christ. You've never surrendered to Christ, not many of you. There's a book out in this country now that said cooperative evangelism, slandering Moody. Lydell Moody never worked on this knowing on the sponsorship of modernness in his life. Dwight L. Moody? He's just average, man. Dwight L. Moody laid one hand on Europe, the other hand on America, and lifted these countries near God and anybody's live for 100 years. Just kept on the job of getting Christians to work and win souls. Try putting everybody he met to winning souls. He put them winning souls, and then he'd win them himself. He stayed in character as an evangelist. He stayed in character as a Christian. Strange how we get out of character, isn't it? I've known young converts to start out and have power with God and man and run on for years, and then they finally get off pitch. I used to know a prima donna. I heard her sing years ago when I was a boy. And she sat around the table, and once in a while she'd hit a note. And somebody said, I said, "Why does she do that?" Said, "She wants to be sure she's still on pitch." You know, I'd be ashamed not to win souls to Jesus Christ. I'd be ashamed not to win them. You mean to tell me you love Jesus Christ and he died for you and you're saved and you're going to heaven and don't care where anybody goes along with you or not? It isn't so. The first thing happens to a fellow. I've been in this thing so long and I know what's going on. And I've observed two things. The first thing that ever happens to a man that's born again, he loves the Bible. These modernists are going to hell. They've never been born again. Man doesn't leave the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the blood atonement and the incarnation, he's going to hell. Listen, what does it say? He says, not many of them, not no. He said, in that day, what? Many will say unto me, did I not know you, Jesus? Didn't you know how was a nice fellow I was in my neo-orthodox and modern? Didn't you know me? He said, I didn't know you at all. You find Jesus Christ, you love the Bible, you have something in that ties you to it. I always tell our students that a man who loves music has some music in him. He may not be able to get down, but say, you hear a fellow play the violin, he goes to play, and you got a little fiddle in your heart that plays, that means you're a musician. You may not be able to play it fiddle yourself, but you're a musician in your heart. One day a man stood in the presence of a great painting. He looked at that painting, and a shadow came over his face. He looked down. Then he looked up and smiled. He said, I never have been able to paint like that. I don't know how to use a brush like that man did it. I never will be able to paint like that man. But he said, I'm a painter. Got a little brush in my heart. I would paint one like that if I could. The thing you would do if you could do, God Almighty says he's done it. Do you love souls? That's one sign you say it. I never saw a fellow convert in my life he didn't think of his pals who was old. A lot of things I've learned along the road just from experience, then I go look in the Bible and see whether it's right or not. Wait a minute, you're not to test what you see by how it looks to you, to test what you see by what the Bible says about what you see. If anything you see that you think is perfectly all right, you test the Bible. And if it isn't all right according to the Bible, never mind what you think.
God knows more than you do.
Yeah, here's old book. Nothing I found out. You don't love souls, but you love the Bible. Brother Gibb, I used to get them reading before breakfast in the morning to make up fire in the old country home. A great big Bible, hard holding my lap, was just a boy. And I read it, and it sounded pretty good. But when I found Jesus, oh, what a wonderful book that was. If you don't love the Bible, you better examine yourself. You might be on your way to hell. You better be careful. You better be dead sure about it. All right. You have a passion for souls, and you love the Bible. That's two tests I've always found. Did you know you can't judge a man any other way except by the Bible? He said, the Bible says, judge not. Oh, no, it doesn't mean that. You're not to pass judgment on him and send him to hell. That's not your business. Listen, he doesn't tell you not to have any opinion. He tells you you ought to have an opinion about some things. The Bible tells you how to evaluate everything you see. It's all clear in the Bible. Perfectly clear. Judge a tree by the fruit of its bag. Judge all that sort of situation. And you can judge what I'm telling you now by reading your Bible. Just read your Bible. You'll find out about it. Then you love God to speak off one to another. Like you talk about Jesus. When I'm talking about Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus of the Bible. Not Jesus trimmed down by these neo-orthodox modernistic conspirators. Jesus of the Bible. All right. Don't you want to be a soul winner? Do you know what's the trouble with most people? They don't have any passion for souls. I'm sick and tired of all these books that you have to read on soul winning. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in training. I wouldn't have founded a school. But you can get so bookish about the thing till you're no good. You know, they got so many books on mothers, how mothers to raise babies. Bring up your baby. You know we need something else more than that. My mother never read a book on how to raise a kid in her life. But she raised 12 of them. I'm the 11th. My mother and father stopped at 10. There wouldn't have been a preacher in the family. Glad I got here. Bob Jones University wouldn't have been in existence if my mother and father stopped at 10 children. But you never know some mother? Why, you know, it's remarkable how they can give you what you all need when you're sick. They love you so much, they want to be very careful. Say, what could he eat now? What wouldn't hurt you? I want to be sure. It's wonderful how anybody ever was raised until we got to writing these modern books, isn't it? Wonder anybody ever got lived at all. How we grew up in this country. Yeah. Old mother may not know what to do. Baby cries. She says, maybe he's hungry. I'll go get him a baked potato. That doesn't relieve his stomach. I'll try something else. And then she'll try something else. Then after a while nothing else works, she keeps crying. She just sticks her finger through the bed and says, help yourself, baby. I got to go to sleep too. Go ahead. It's wonderful how to bring up, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? You know why? I tell you, I'd rather have a mother's love. A mother's love. Than have a mother's brain.
If a mother loves the baby like a mother ought to love the baby, if she doesn't know what to do, she'll ask a doctor.
But the kind of thing, love finds a way, you know. Yeah, you go at it. You know how the best way to win souls? Just go at it. Probably read most of these books, you'll get so cold when you start in, you won't ever start. Follow your impulse. Just go at it. Just pitch in. If you don't know how to talk to grown people, talk to little children. Tell them God loves them. Jesus died for them. Go to win them. We just haven't got it. You know you can't deliver the goods unless you have the goods to deliver. You got to have something in here that drives you along, you know. You just can't stop. Sometimes I've tried to stop. I can't stop. You think I'd be running around this hot weather if I could stop? You think I'd be going up and down this country if I could stop? My brakes won't work. I met Jesus when I was 11 years old. Put something in my heart and won't let me stop. Think about Paul the other day. You couldn't stop Paul, no matter what you did to him. Didn't do any good to put him in the jail. If he did, he'd pray the prison doors off and get everybody converted in there. Put him up on the street corner somewhere, visiting around, moving around, he'd start a revival. Say, by the way, do you know what we need in America? I'm just throwing a lot in this summer as I pass along this morning, because I'm talking to you individually. Individually. I'm getting down to the person today. You know what we need in America? Listen. We need to know in America what is a revival, more than any revival.
We are not going to have revival in this country as long as we judge it by signs, symptoms, anything else. The average Christian doesn't know what a revival is.
If he had one, he wouldn't. That's where the devil puts all everything on us.
Go ring the doorbell. She heard that going. That's a lovely girl, 16 years old. The harp in her hand, an angel. Lovely angel. Beautiful angel. But girls are not angels. Don't ever you think women are angels. They can dress up like them, but they're not angels. Don't let them fool you.
They're sinners like the rest of us.
Maybe sweet. Some are mighty sweet sinners. They're sinners. Listen, listen. The devil never comes around except dressed up to sell something that's not right. And there's only one book whereby he can check him, and that's the Bible.
That's the only checkbook you have on deck.
Yeah, you can win souls. I did it when I didn't know anything.
I remember when I was a boy, I was holding a meeting.
Never get along as I live. I just a boy went off held a meeting. They told me, everybody was talking about an old man, an old colonel in the community. They said that he is an infidel, atheist, and agnostic. And everybody said everything mean about him. And nobody ever said he tried to win him to Christ. So I tried to sleep. I couldn't think. I didn't want the fellow to go to hell. I knew he'd soon be there if something wasn't done. So I, one night, told Jesus I'd go there. I didn't want anybody to know I'd go. And I had intimated to the preacher I might go, and he told me to let him alone. Said, you're just a boy. What do you know about that old man? He's the smartest man in this country. And so I said, all right. That night I told him, I said, well, if he goes to hell, I sure don't want his blood on me. So next morning, bright and early, I got up and hitched the horse and buggy and drove down the road, down a hill, up a hill, kept riding. It came one of those old-time colonial homes in Alabama. And I said, this is it. And I got out and tied the horse, my hands shaking like a leaf in the wind. Went up the gate, my knees knocking together. Went up the steps. I sat inside that door, the most remarkable-looking old gentleman ever I saw. He looked bigger than me in the house. I said, excuse me, is this Colonel so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, what is your name? I said, I'm Bob Jones. I'm this young fellow holding a meeting out here. Oh, you this preacher boy. Said, come on in, Bob. Sit down here. You know, I like to talk to you. Said, they called me a sinner. They called me into the latest agnostic. They said, you know, I want something I never had. And I said, Colonel, that's what I came here for. And I just told him in simple words, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it means what does believe in the doctor? If you believe in the doctor, you believe he's a good doctor, you get sick, you send for him, turn the case over to him. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. Can't save yourself. And all you do is put your case in his hands. He says, is that the way you do it? I said, yes. He said, all right, I'll do it. Had prayer with him. That's, Philip, you go down this road. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just on the right road. That's all I know. And if you're on the right road, you'll come out the right place. Don't worry. Just keep going down the right road and you'll hit the right town sooner or later. Down this road. Go down this road, Philip. Just keep going. Just go on down the road. Don't stop till I tell you. Go down there. Found a man reading the Bible. You know, I never know what God may mean. It's hot weather, just closed school. I was so tired, worn out, didn't know what to do. And going over here to Dumas, Texas for the Evangelistic Conference, Dr. John Rice, and he arranged this year if we can stop here today and fix it all up somewhere, or the organization did over there, somebody. I go and ask Dr. Rice, let me get on Monday, had all planned, I'm going to rest. And so I'm here. You know, I might meet somebody in heaven because it came over here. I don't know. Listen, you don't know. If you're marching under God's orders, you will do God's job, and just the job God wants you to do. Found a man reading the Bible. The trouble in this country is not with non-church goers. The trouble in America is with non-going Christians. Listen, there are enough Christians in this house today that could average leading 50 people to Jesus Christ a week if you just work at it. Just go at it. You might win 100 to Jesus Christ. You talk about revivals. The preacher boys have led more people to Jesus Christ, Bob Jones University preacher boys, than they reported converts in the Billy Graham meeting in New York in about 16 weeks. Actual converts out on weekends. They go out about 700 of them and fan out over 7 states. And the smallest number ever have been reported is just 300 on that day. from that up to 1,500 and 2,000, most of the time 1,200 along there, all over the country for God. You know, they don't bring out any extras about it. You don't see any headlines, but I think I imagine when those boys out over there, down the streets of heaven, angels running, "Extra, extra, read about it, read about it!" Yeah, it must be much interest up there in heaven, because it says they rejoice and just one sinner gets saved. You can do it if you will. You got out of there. Just go, listen. The way to do it, just do today what God wants you to do today, and then do tomorrow what God wants. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just keep going, going, going. Just keep on going. Don't get bothered. Just keep going. You know, God puts us in a room, you know, and says, "Now, I want you in this room. Fix up this room here. Do the best you can. Don't get out of the room to get it fixed up best you can. You're doing that what God told you to do." And the time you get through, God opens another door and says, "Come this way." Door opens. I've been doing evangelistic work like that all my life. I never lifted my finger to get an invitation. And today, if I was 50 men, I couldn't cover the open door, any of the open doors around the world. Listen, if you are true to God and are doing God's work, He's up against it so bad, He'll keep you busy if you're willing to be kept busy for God. So I move into another room, fix that up. Then I do that, does it this way, and I move through another door, to another room. All my life been moving on like that. Someday, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to be in a room. And lights are getting a little dim. Well, what's the matter? I can't see as well as you see. It's getting dark. A little short of breath, too. Got a strange rattle in my throat. And I'm going to open the staring eyes and see a gate of pearl. No, it's not a regular door, it's a gate of pearl. It's swinging open. And the angels are there, and Jesus is there. I'll move in the room He fixed for me. You know, heaven must be a pretty place. If God can paint take a sunbeam and paint a rose in the springtime, where will heaven be after Jesus Christ has been up there doing interior decorating for nearly 2,000 years? I got a nice room up there. You know these soul winners won't be kicked around up there and lied about and slandered and misrepresented. And wait a minute, listen. You can have as nice room as anybody. Don't get the idea. I'm sick and tired of people kowtowing to big folks. The folks that I honor most are lowly, faithful people. God didn't tell you to be famous. He told you to be faithful. Some of the greatest saints of God that I've ever seen on this earth never had their name in the paper. They were faithful and true to God. All right, down this road. Where are you going? I don't know. Down this road. And got down there. And there's an opportunity on wheels. The opportunities of life are on wheels today. Oh, how the chariots pass. You probably will touch a life today you'll never touch again. Somebody's lost. You'll never meet anymore. I remember a woman during World War II had a son killed over in Japan somewhere. She wanted to talk to me. And she said, "You know, I was a church member, but I really wasn't born again when he went away. Since he went away, I was born again just before I got to where he died. I might have saved my boy." She just kept talking and talking and talking, trying to get me to think he's in heaven. I didn't know what to tell. I didn't tell anything bad. I just said, "Well, maybe he trusted him." So I said, "Oh, just think about it. All those years, God put him in my lap as a little baby. He has no hell I'm to blame. If he's lost, there's nobody to blame but me. He's the most trusting baby you ever saw." Yeah. Yeah, did you win yours to Christ? Did you let the devil have him? Wait a minute. What about your next door neighbor there? The fellow died not long ago, but you never spoke to about his soul. What about that? What about it? Opportunity on wheels. Oh, I've heard him say, if I had. I've seen him wring their hands and say, "Oh, if I had just done something with him in Christ." Yeah, but we ain't interested in their honors. Good job. Big this, big that.
I want my boy to be a big man and my girl to stand out.
Stand out for whom? The devil or God?
We ought to be ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself. I am. I'm not just talking to you. I preach myself under conviction every time I talk along this line. The hardest job you have is to just be faithful. I saw a motto on a church wall one time. I made my motto for life. I was sitting there and the preacher studied just over at the pulpit. Here's what he said. I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. I said, what I can do, I ought to do. Help of God, I will do. I made up my mind. I think God may have spared my life and kept me through the years and helped me found Bob Jones University over 31 years ago and trained it for this day of crisis, for we're in the midst of the greatest crisis America ever knew. People think we have a revival in America and we are having an orchard that's being, limbs are being pulled off the tree and the fewest numbers of conversions of history, in the history of America, considering the size of the crowds and the emphasis and all the talk in the headlines. We're in a bad fix. Average person in these big churches doesn't know what salvation means. Oh, some of them are saved. You got little bases like this scattered over America. Thank God for them, and they're the hope of this country. All right. Opportunity on wheels. One time, I heard this. I didn't see it. A man in a meeting passed out some cards. And here's what's on the card. If I would die tonight, I would go to, and there's a blank line. And right under said, fill in and sign your name. I look out of this crowd this morning, I just thought of that. Suppose you did die today. You may. Where would you go? Would you go to heaven? You wouldn't if you hadn't been born again. Wouldn't just cause you've been baptized. Wouldn't just cause you joined a church somewhere. You know, you'd go to the place to which you gravitate. The rich man went to hell because he just gravitated there. That's where he belonged. Lazarus, poor beggar, gravitated to heaven. He just, heaven drew him, you know. He had heaven in his heart and he went on up to heaven. You better play it safe. I don't want to take any chance of my soul. I've got to live as long as God lives. I've got to live until God dies and angels sing funeral dirges over his grave. I won't take any chances. You better play it safe. Now I want every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Don't open your eyes. I'm asking for your cooperation just a minute. If I died today, I know exactly where I'd go. You say, Bob Jones, you must think you're mighty good. No, I don't. I just think Jesus is good himself. And I think he's as good as his word. He said if I'd come to him, he'd take me. And I'll come to him. He said, if I'd come to him, he'd take me. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, will you? Everybody, please cooperate with this, won't you? Just bow your heads and close your eyes, everybody. Don't look around. Please help us just a minute, this solemn moment. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many people in this house can say this honestly before God? Now, wait a minute. Now, think it over just a minute. How many can say honestly before God, well, I can say that. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm born again. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I just know it because I know Jesus Christ is as good as his word. I don't feel saved this morning. I feel happy because I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because God tells me so in the Bible. I know it because he says it. If I didn't believe the Bible and what Jesus says about my salvation, I'd throw the Bible away. I wouldn't go around trying to preach. How many folks can say, thank God? I know I've been born again. I know I've been saved. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure. Put your hand up. If you can say it honestly. Don't look around. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody look around. Don't look around now. Now help me because it's important to keep your hand up just a moment. Don't anybody look around. Don't anybody look around. Don't look around. Now listen, you folks with your hand up. Nobody looking around now. With your hand up, eyes closed, head bowed. Now, if you put anybody on the spot, I won't be blamed for it. I'm not trying to bash, but hold your hand up just a minute. Now, you folks with your hands, eyes still closed, quietly stand right where you are. Don't look around now. Don't look around. The rest of you didn't have your hand up. Don't stand, but keep your eyes closed. All right. Quietly stand now. I won't talk to you just a minute. The rest of you keep your seat now. Don't look around. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. You folks who are seated, keep your seat.
I won't talk to these folks. Just stood and said that. All right, now listen, gentlemen. Don't look around. Every head bowed. If you stood up when your hand wasn't up, you just didn't tell the truth. That's all. We just asked those to stand who had their hands up. That's all. So if you didn't, now you're just not trapping anybody. We don't operate that way. Now keep your head bowed just a moment. Now while these heads are bowed, how many of you folks are standing can say, Bob Jones, I haven't been faithful in winning souls like I should have been, and I know it. And God helping me this Sunday morning, I want to dedicate my life. I may blunder, I may be a little awkward about it, but I can quote John 3:16. And if I can find somebody, and I can't tell him exactly what it ought to be, I'll find somebody like the pastor of this church or somebody like that and get him to help me. You can do it if you want to do it, and you can learn as you go along. How many of you say, wait a minute while you're standing. How many of you ever had the joy of leading somebody to Jesus, holding your hand up? Isn't that wonderful? Did you ever have such joy in this world? No joy like it on this earth. Take your hand down there. How many of you folks have joined me? I want to do it myself. I thought about yesterday after talking to that boy. I want to dedicate my life to God this morning anew, to this business of winning people to Jesus Christ, to go out after souls. And I've never known a church that kept up that kind of pace that ever, but what somehow God takes care of. How many of you this morning can say, God helping me, I want to rededicate or dedicate my life to God. To go out in this service, and I'll try to be more faithful than I've ever been before, winning people to Jesus Christ. Put your hand up, you see. I'll take your hand down just a moment. Now listen. While our heads are still bowed, everybody, nobody looking around, I wonder how many of you people seated, just a few of you seated, can say, I couldn't hold up my hand and say, I know I'm saved. I couldn't say I know I'd go to heaven. I just couldn't say it. I just couldn't do it, and I didn't hold up my hand. If you couldn't say it, you shouldn't have held up your hand. You did right not to do it. I wonder if anybody here say, well, I couldn't say that, but I wish I could say it. But I'd like to be remembered in prayer. Will you stand up just a moment before we go? You couldn't say it, but you wish you could say it. You'd like to be remembered in prayer. Just stand up where you are. Just a minute. God bless that lady stood back there. Anybody else? You say, I couldn't say it, but wish you could say it. Just stand up where you are. Right where you are. All right, now, just a minute. God bless that one. Or anybody else here can say, I couldn't say it, but I wish you could say it. Just stand up where you are. God bless you. God bless you. Now, keep your head bowed. Now, listen. When we dismiss the pastors up here and his assistant up here with us, led the music, and the other people up here, and I'm up here. I want you folks who stood and said that you would, that you wish you could say it, didn't have assurance, couldn't say it possibly. If you come up here at the front, we'd be glad to talk to you, try to help you. One of us will, the pastor, I, somebody else here, will be glad to talk to you. Just come by. That young lady stood so readily back there first. And then I think there's another one back there stood, maybe a man too, I'm not sure. But I know at least one, and I think there were two more. If you'll come by here, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like you can go out of here today with this thing so settled in your life. And the pastor would like to talk to you. All right, now, just keep your heads bowed, and I'm going to say before the pastor dismisses you, you'll be back here tonight. Now, bring somebody. Get on the phone now. I'm going to bring you an old-time message tonight, the kind the evangelist used to preach in America. So you'll be with us tonight. What's time, 7:30? Or tonight? 7:30. What? 7:30 tonight. Thank God for his presence this morning. I'll ask the pastor to dismiss you.